You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
Let's now reflect on the interview we did with President Cyril Ramaphosa on Friday on this radio station. There's something specific I would like us to focus on. And please give me your thoughts as well. He made a chilling admission that government has no money to support families left with no income as a result of the lockdown restrictions. You know, the alcohol, hospitality and tourism sectors have been left reeling since President Cyril Ramaphosa announced the move from level 1 to level 3 lockdown, banning the sale of alcohol. And this has led to the industry's warning of a humanitarian crisis as jobs are being shared. And remember when the president announced the first lockdown last year to keep the spread of COVID-19, he also announced a relief package to cushion the financial blow for industries that didn't operate during that period. Well, not this time around. There's no relief for industries that are affected by the continued ban on the sale of alcohol. And government has that obligation to save lives, but also save livelihoods, especially if it implements regulations that stifles their industries. So why is it failing to meet that obligation to protect livelihoods in industries that are most affected? Let's bring in economist Nhlanhla Pai, who is an economist and director at Nascence Advisory. And also later on, I will be hearing from some people that are themselves affected, because I want us to also humanize this. So I will bring in people that work in the tourism, hospitality and alcohol sector. And I want to know from them how they feel about government essentially telling them they're on their own. There's nothing that it can do for them because there's simply no money. Hauna zaka. Before I speak to Nhlanhla Pai, here's what the president said on Friday about the issue of that relief measures for those that are most affected, the industries that are affected. There are a lot of people working in sectors that are now strained, sectors that are not allowed to operate, like the alcohol industry, for instance, that are feeling the pinch. And they're asking the question, where is the relief? Why did you not announce a relief package? Do we not have the money?
We do not have the money. That's the simple truth that has to be put out there. We are constrained from a financing point of view. The relief measures that we announced last year amounted to about 10% of our GDP, which is quite a big amount of money for a middle income economy like ours. We were punching at a very high level, like your sort of high income country economies, but we took a bold stance to support our people, to support small and medium enterprises, and to support a number of other companies. And right now we are at a stage where we now have to fund the vaccines, which is going to amount to a lot of money as well. So we are constrained, but we're also hoping that these measures will not be measures that will go on for too long. We want to see them being short-term measures focused on achieving the objectives that we've got.
All right, let's bring in Nhlanhla Pai now, economist and director at Nascence Advisory. Nhlanhla, good morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Chairman. Thanks for having me, and good morning to the listeners.
So no one can argue against what the president is saying. We don't have some money stashed up and waiting to be spent, but government has that obligation. So is the "we don't have the money" a good enough answer from the president?
Look, I mean, I think that an important thing to consider here is actually what we mean by actually supporting industries or supporting companies. We mean actually the entities themselves, but we mean actually supporting the people. So, you know, trying to sustain employment, but also, for those people who will not be sustaining employment or maybe lose their jobs, where they go. It's important to realize also that, you know, apart from the industries from lockdown that have been not able to operate as we've outlined them, there's also some major changes that have occurred in terms of how we actually do business, how we work, and how we will work post-COVID. And so I think the issue now is more for the thought process that says, how do we actually move on from here? Because I think even if we had the money, we would have to still think about what could the South Africa post-COVID look like as it is now. And I think we need a little bit more thought to say, what are we actually facing? And I suspect that's the thing that that is missing from there. We don't have the money. Mm-hmm. And I think these industries in particular, of course, as we think about them, how harmed they are in terms of in the short term, which is on the president's quite correct, perhaps, that they are short term, but there will also be very lasting issues here. And so one wonders what kind of discussions are also being had there in terms of actually government cooperating and collaborating with industries and businesses and employees, because things are changing and they're changing very fast. And we have to think beyond a bailout for companies, but actually how this economy is restructuring and how we support that restructure.
What options does government have to assist those struggling right now, those working in industries that are affected by the ban on the sale of alcohol? What form would that relief take? Because what the president explains is that government is constrained financially. The priority now is on mobilizing funds to acquire, prepare infrastructure, and distribute the vaccine. And he's got a point there, no?
Yes. Look, I mean, I think that this is the major thing. So one would want, for example, the industries and companies to actually explain what this will have in terms of the effect on their businesses. Are these short-term, job losses or people actually being, laid off for a short period and then things will change afterwards so that you can actually design interventions that actually make sense. So, for example, say, the tourism industry says that they will, they've been harmed and they may not be able to come back for another year or 2 years. Then one says, okay, so what do we do with those workers in the next year or two? And I think the important thing there is to actually try and think about some of what the president is saying, because then clearly we have to find opportune areas where people can actually find work. So, and I think, the construction industry is one area that's very important, because of course it can absorb a lot of labor, what they call multipliers, because when you build a house or when you build a school, a hospital, and all this social infrastructure and housing, is that you can, there is the informal sector that plays a big role there, so people can actually get work at a relatively minimal stage kind of employment skills. Then at the same time, it touches on manufacturing, it touches on mining, so both the primary industries, the secondary and the tertiary industries. And I think, these are things that have been done, for example, in Australia. They decided to support the construction sector at the beginning of COVID and said, look, we'll give you money to build or to expand your house significantly so that we can create those jobs and actually also, I guess, build some assets. So that's one way. But we have to think about first what are these effects and define them quite clearly so that we can have a smart discussion. I think sometimes it's disappointing because in many instances, sectors tend to overestimate some things or sometimes not be honest. And then we don't really know how to actually appropriately respond. And that response actually has to be a smart one, because some of these things, as I said, are very long-term in effect.
Who is to blame, Clunty, for us not having the money to provide this relief for industries that are affected? Is there enough accountability? So beyond saying, we don't have the money, are we actually getting the answers on why and getting government to account? Because part of the questions we ask the president is, what about the mismanagement of the fiscus? What about the corruption that we've seen? And could that be playing a bigger role in where we find ourselves now being financially constrained?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that, because actually part of the financial constraint is because over the past while, we actually have been misspending and misappropriating money. Money has been stolen. So we have a lot of debt and very little to show for that debt that we've acquired over the years. Because if we had actually had something to show for that debt, we would actually be able to say that over the past number of years, because what you mean by constraint is that we are not making any taxes, the economy constraint hasn't been growing. This crisis found us at a very, very poor position. We don't really have any savings. We are really, and we're overborrowed. And we've been downgraded, so people are, we're not actually able to borrow at a relatively good price. So the crisis itself found us in a bad place, and that is mainly of our own doing, because we knew these things would happen. We knew that we had to actually make sure that, we build a resilient economy, and we didn't do that. We didn't build, people who actually can transfer skills, that are flexible, we actually didn't support industries. I mean, one of the things that actually is quite terrible about the crisis we face is that we've seen, you know, food price increases in some areas, especially for the poor, and it's going to get worse because people are going to then starve. And we should have an agricultural sector that both actually is, you know, is as vibrant as it can be in terms of what and how many people are involved in agriculture and what we are able to produce in the country, because actually we import quite a lot of the food that we consume, and we could have actually been producing here. We've had all these land issues and promises around developing agriculture, supporting small-scale farmers, supporting people who are actually also for domestic farming, giving people land to actually self-sustain, all of these things. So now we have to get into those kinds of things, and those discussions are difficult to have at this time.
All right. Klanthi Pai, economist and director at Nascence Advisory. Thank you so much for your time. Lisibo on Twitter says, where has the money gone to? The cadres are continuing to loot us, and it doesn't sound like the president and his administration have got a solution to this thuggish behavior. What has this country become? That's a tweet from Lisibo. On this voice note line, 0727021702, there's this.
Clement, I have not been able to work since the 27th of March. I work in the hospitality and entertainment industry. When clubs and or restaurants were able to open again, there was not a need for as many waitresses or as much staff, as well as now the alcohol ban has even halved that need for the already skeletal staff. So we also have not received many packages. No one that I know received the 350 Rand grant, even after applying. We've been out of work for nearly a year, and the government is really failing us in our industry. This is Anna from Johannesburg.
Anna, I'm so sorry about what you're experiencing, and thanks for your voice note. When I come back from the break, I'll be speaking to more people in the hospitality, tourism, and in alcohol industry that also feel like government is failing them. It's 10 minutes before 11.
702.
The Clement Maniatella Show.
Let's walk the talk.
It's 8 minutes before 11 o'clock, and we're talking about what President Cyril Ramaphosa told us on Friday, that admission that government simply has no money to support families that are left with no income as a result of the lockdown restrictions. And I've got about three people that I'll talk to now, and I just want to get their thoughts on what the president said. And maybe let's start with Lo Stradom, who is live to us from Cape Town, who's a manager of Ken Forrester Wines. Lo, thank you so much for coming through. Your industry has been warning that people are struggling, but the president says he's sorry you guys are experiencing what you are experiencing, but he says there's no money to help you guys while you are unable to work. How do you feel after hearing that chilling admission?
Yeah, look, it's obviously not very encouraging and quite disappointing information and to be told by the leader of the country, obviously. You know, but at the end of the day, I think firstly, everybody, you know, we sympathize the government in the really tough situation they find themselves in, and, you know, in terms of trying to make policy that works for everybody. And we, you know, are only too cognizant of the fact that there's been, you know, over 1.3 million infections and 37,000 deaths. And we understand the absolute need for certain of these policies to be implemented, but within reason. You know, and things like, you know, last year, because obviously wineries like ourselves, you know, we're tourism-centric. We don't just produce wine that we sell to our clients across the country, across the globe, but we, you know, we thrive on the footfall and the traffic that comes to the wineries themselves, and we have our restaurants, and we have obviously the hospitality industry as a hospitality destination. And then being told that there's no government support to help alleviate the troubles, you know, from a financial perspective, that we necessarily can't sustain ourselves, it is very, very disappointing. You know, and one just has to wonder, where is the money? What's happened to it? And you know, what are the alternatives? Not a great situation to find ourselves in, but South Africans are notoriously resilient, and we will find our way through this.
Yeah. Lo, thank you, man. Manager of Ken Forrester Wines. Let's speak to Molatelo Matikitela, who is with Kwa Ace Pub in Khayelitsha. Molatelo, what are you expecting government to do for you when it implements the regulations and says the sale of alcohol is not allowed?
It's very difficult. It's a difficult situation. From the previous speaker, I would say we can only appreciate the transparency that the president showed by telling us that there is no money, which now moves to the next step where we need to look at other alternatives.
Mm.
What they can do for us is to allow us to open safely, because the most important thing is not necessarily to shut down the businesses. We can shut down the virus and open the businesses safely. I think that is an approach that government should take. Our business is ready. We have equipped our staff. Our staff was trained last year when we were told about this virus. We started equipping our staff and getting them ready to open safely. So I think most of the businesses in the alcohol industry are ready to open safely, provided the government is willing to work with us.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mulatelo. Let's speak to Daleen now. Daleen Azevedo, who is a tavern owner in Windmill Park in Boksburg. Daleen, how difficult has the situation been for you?
Oh, now it's been absolutely difficult. You know, it really affects us big time. Seeing that you can't generate, you end up using the stock money that you have. Chances are when we open, we won't be able to sell, because then we do have nothing.
How you've been surviving, Daleen, and your staff?
Yeah, the staff, they're under a lot of stress. Because it might seem like just sleeping with us, but at least they got the daily needs that they can provide for the family with. But now it is just like it is difficult all over. You don't even know yourself what you're going to do next.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect government to do, Daleen, when government says we can't allow you to trade now because we're thinking about the health system and the pressure from possible pressure on the system from, you know, the alcohol-related trauma cases? What then do you expect government to do for you guys that are in industries that are most affected?
Okay, like you said, there is no money. I don't think we can expect a lot of things from them other than to let us trade by off sale. Because we already implemented it, so it is just fair if we can trade as well, seeing that there is no money for us.
All right, Daleen, thank you. And it's hard for you and many other people that are also sending me messages here. And all they're asking for is let's find a balance. Let it not just be a blanket ban on the sale of alcohol, but we understand. And a lot of people do, right? A lot of people in the industry understand the tough decision the president has to take. They understand that with what we've seen in hospitals and the trauma cases and the impact that those have on our health system. But what they're asking for is let's find a balance.